Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Rethink, Refresh, Relaunch. This is Taran Travel, and today we have the theme of What is Your Vision for 2021? Now, I happen to be a retired school teacher who took a pivot when the pandemic began and decided to go into podcasting. And it's just been a lot of changes that we've had since the pandemic began. Now we're in the last week, which is the first month of the year, January, and it's almost over. And some people, they still don't have a vision for what they want to accomplish this year. Maybe you haven't written your goals down. Maybe you don't know what your goals should be. And then some people make, and I'm one of those people, make a vision board that they post somewhere in their house. Well, today I've invited one of my previous guests, Stephanie Hancock, and she is actually a specialist in looking at the vision board concept and how people start to set their goals for the coming year. Stephanie, are you on the call?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me on again, Terry.
Great. I'm glad to hear your voice. So, yes, we have just made it through month one. Can you believe it? I cannot believe
January's
almost over. I'm like, wow. It
happened too fast.
The year comes. It does. It really does. So, just thinking about it, would you say that vision boards are a good idea for people to do?
Yes. I personally love vision boards, and it's something that I started a long time ago before we called them vision boards. They were collages when I was a teenager, and I would sit in my room for literally hours and cut things out and put things together of like how I saw my future, what I would want, things I liked, and things, you know, things of that nature. So I think they're an excellent idea because a vast majority of us are visual individuals. So,
definitely.
Having something that we can look at to motivate us or to, you know, push us or to encourage us or inspire us, I think it's a fantastic idea.
I definitely agree. I know some people are stuck when it comes to putting up a vision board because they'll say, well, I don't get magazines anymore. And, you know, where am I going to get the stuff, you know, or why do I need to do it? It's like I already know in my mind what I'm going to do. So
yeah,
I'm like,
but when
you have that visual, though, that's what works for me. That's what really works for me.
That's what works for me as well, just having that visual. And even if it's not you know, for those who don't want to put a vision board together, another option is like I have a picture of a wave in my room, a wave with the sunset, and it's this beautiful water picture that I just absolutely love. And it's where I can see it every single day, and it brings me peace. So if a person doesn't want to do a vision board, maybe it's a picture of their favorite place, you know, for vacation or something like that. That's another option.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Definitely. Would you say that when we have our vision board, should it be our goals for the year or our desires?
I like that question because I think it's a combination. And before you even sit down to craft your board, I think it's really important to know what your intentions are. And as an example, like what I'm doing this year, different from previous years, is I took a 30-day reset for my life, and I just haven't done anything. I really, literally haven't done anything because for so long I have been really driven, and I love that side of me. I love to be driven, but I'm exhausted too. I found that I was exhausted coming into 2021 on top of, you know, my own exhaustion. There's been the civil unrest. There's been the,
you know, the election and the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I just found that I was exhausted and I needed to take a break. And so I have my self-proclaimed 30-day reset. But in this time, I'm giving myself the opportunity to really reflect on what's important to me. What do I want to take off my plate and how I want to move forward? I'm going to be coming into a whole new chapter in my life because my kids are going off to college in the fall.
Wow.
So I'm going to be an empty nester. I mean, like, this is a whole new world for me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's all about the, you know, the intention and what it is that your desires might change. Because, like, you know, you might be experiencing this new journey like I'm experiencing or something like that. So, and know what you want. Know kind of like what your goals are and what your desires are. It should be a mix of the two.
I do. I definitely do agree. Because I think that when you have the goals and you're looking at them, that's one thing. But when you actually think, most people, if money was not an option, and you say, what would you do? Most don't have that. They're just like, I really don't know. Somebody just won that, what was that, $990 million in the Powerball?
Yes.
And I'm just wondering, what did they do? They probably never even fathom winning. So it's like,
right.
What do you do with your life?
Right.
To me,
and
when you really entertain it, you can actually say, wow, if I did, this is what I do.
This is what I would do. And that's why I think it's really important to know what your intentions are. Because a lot of those people who win those millions and billions of dollars, if they were in a position previously where they didn't have a lot of money, within 5 years, they're back to that same lifestyle.
Exactly.
Where they don't have the money. You've got to know what your intentions are, and you have to make those changes starting now. So when you get to that place where you want to be, you can stay there and continue to grow and not revert backwards.
Exactly, because I think to me it's all about growing as a person every year.
For sure. Every year, growing. And that, I think that's the beauty of, like, you know, kind of keeping them. Like, I'm a person who, I keep my vision boards. Sometimes what I'll do is I will take things from the previous year that, let's say, I didn't accomplish, and I still like that picture. I just move it on over to the new board.
Exactly. I think that's what people should. I am one to keep them. I've been told sometimes it's better to throw them away because it's that year's gone and you need to move on. And like you said, you take the things that you didn't accomplish and you put them on the new year. I personally like to keep them because it's like, wow, you were thinking that then. You don't feel that way anymore. And you kind of see yourself evolve. And so or else I'm like, yes, I accomplished that. I did do that, you know. Or
exactly. This is not
really
a good feeling
do that anymore. It is.
Yeah.
It makes
such that's
a difference
really good
when you
feeling.
Can look. It is to look back at your accomplishments, and then say, I'm going to work on that another year. Somehow, what I did wasn't good. Let me try something else. So I'm definitely one. I do keep them, but I think it's a personal thing.
I do too. I don't think that when it comes to vision boards, that to me they are very personal. Whether there's no right or wrong way to do them, it's yours and your life and your outlook. And there's no right or wrong way. I've gone through so many different styles of boards. You know, one year I did them on a canvas. Another year I bedazzled my cork board. Another year they were on a poster board. It's just however you feel like expressing yourself.
and you can do that. If it's a literal board every single year, that's fine. There's no hard fast rule. You can frame them even.
Exactly. I know I had one friend, and I thought that was a great idea. She took a photo album, and she did her vision board in a photo album. By, you know how you can pull mm-hmm. back the things, and it kind of sticks in there or whatever. But it was kind of like a walk through her life and where she wanted to go and where she had gone. And so that way she could kind of keep it and just kind of look back.
I love that idea. That was in a movie. I think it was Why Did I Get Married? It was a Tyler Perry movie with Jill Scott's mm-hmm. character. She had okay. her vision for her life like that. And it was so sweet. And I just love that idea of putting it in a photo album, because you can take it with you, and you know, I think it's great.
Which brings me to my next question. Where is the
so
place
sorry.
You should place them? Where would you place them?
I think, again, because we're visual, you should place them where you can see them on a regular basis. Like I said, I have my water picture, like when I first wake up. but I also have my board and my on another part of my wall, because mm-hmm. then whenever I walk in my room, I'm looking at that. You know, if I go to my closet, I see my vision board. It's like constantly in my mind. It's a constant reminder. So put them where you're going to see them. And then I've also talked to different individuals who have different boards for different things. So as an example, one of my acquaintances, he put his vision board for work, like his work goals, mm-hmm. on his desk.
Mm-hmm.
So it was in a frame mm-hmm. on the desk. So that's a great place, and that's a great way of doing things. Like when you have your professional goals, you know, put it where you can see it, and it's going to motivate you professionally. Anyway, but I personally like my bedroom, because this is my space, as opposed to like anywhere else in my house where it's a shared space.
Exactly. Do you make or have you done them with your kids?
My kids really aren't into them. I've tried.
They thought it was like crazy mommy.
They think I'm really kind of corny for doing it, you know? Like, that's mom's thing. You know, I guess, like, when they were younger, too, like, I would do, like, a family mission statement. Like, we have a family mission statement, and, like, we'd have our little family meetings and stuff like that. Yeah, I think it's that I really, really encourage is for families to come up with your mission statement, because mm-hmm. it really helps to identify you as a family, what sets you apart from other families, and what unifies you as a family. So I encourage family mission statements.
Oh, I definitely think that that's a good idea. The other thing would be, some people, like you said, the guy at work, he has it at his workstation. Do you think it should be virtual? I know a lot of people are really into their phones, and so they just have it on their phone. That does not work for me. But what do you think, of virtual or live? Or
I think both. So what I do is I do my vision board, then I take a picture of it, and it's my lock screen saver on my phone. So that, like, I'm always looking at it. It's always there. It's always a reminder. And those subtle things are what stick in our minds. So that's why, that way I can carry it with me. So I do both.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember some weeks ago, you actually had a vision board. Was it a webinar?
Yeah, I did. And unfortunately, I had some technical difficulties. And mm-hmm. We started it, but we couldn't hear each other. so I had to reschedule it. Yeah, it was, you know, it's the wonderful world of Zoom that we're in now and Facebook Live. So I'm pushing it back to the later part of the year.
and unfortunately have to wait, for, you know, because I have other things. But yes, I enjoy doing them, and I'll let you know when I'm doing my next one. You know, like I said, this is my 30-day reset period, so I haven't really thought about it because I am working on me right now.
I so get that. I think that the whole reflection, and that to me is the other thing that the vision board allows you to do. It allows you to reflect and reset for the new
year. It really does.
Yeah.
And even if it's not the new year, you know, there's no hard, fast rule that says in 3 months, if you want to start all over again, that you can't do that. You can do it whenever you want. It's nice to do it at the beginning of the year or some, you know, something like that. But if a person needs to reset at a different point of the year, by all means, you gotta make it for you.
I could see even people doing it when they were either transitioning to being retired or maybe getting a new job, going through a divorce, moving to a new city. I mean, to me, all of those transitions in life would be a great time to do a vision board.
Yes,
because I think that
agree.
When you're changing gears, you have to really start to reflect and go, what am I going to do different? How
right.
am I going to adjust?
Right. And I like that you say that. What am I going to do different? Because that's about personal and professional accountability. And that's when we grow, is when we take accountability and say, what am I going to do different? What changes am I going to make? Instead of blaming others for whatever circumstances come our way in life or have befallen us. You know, it's where can I make that change? And so I really like what you said. I appreciate that.
One thing that I do know that, and I really notice this a lot with the millennials, is the pandemic caused them to feel like the world was ending. You know, this is really Armageddon. This is it. It was a real fear of, am I ever going to be able to get married and have a family? You know, this pandemic is crazy. So if some people are feeling like, okay, the pandemic's still here, why would I do a vision board? What would you say to them?
I think that's an interesting thought. Just because we're in a pandemic, we're not going to stay in a pandemic. You know, a lot of things are, most things in life are temporary. It's where we're at right now. You want to be able to come out of this and come out on the other side, a better person. So take this time right now to, as you said, you know, think of how you want things to change or change in your life, or where do you see yourself in 5 years? What are any of us learning from this? You know, one of the things that I'm learning is to be more grateful for just being able to connect with people, you know, face to face. I'm having more of these random conversations in the grocery store now, because I think we all need it.
Because we all see need that it's another person, and I can connect
Pardon
to
me?
This person. What would you say to a person in the grocery store? Would it be talking about the groceries, or would it just be talking about things in general?
It's just kind of however the opportunity presents itself. Like if we're both standing there looking at something 6 feet apart and having that same contemplative look, like, oh gosh, I'm cooking again. I'm so tired of cooking. And so, you know, commiserating, but having, of course, some humor in that commiserating And just making that connection, because I think we're all craving it, and we're all in one way or another, and it's exhibiting itself and presenting itself in different ways, but we all crave that connection because, you know, it's been taken away. We're trying to stay safe, just not the same, you know? So I think if people really kind of focus on the good that they're learning from this and things that they've taken for granted in the past that they won't take for granted when we're no longer in the pandemic, those are things that can help motivate you to not see just the doom and gloom, because there's so many wonderful things that we still have an opportunity to take advantage of.
I so agree. And sometimes I think we have to get to the point that we have to turn off the news. And a lot of times, now kept listening to the news, they're constantly giving the positive cases and the number of deaths. And yeah. I always was thinking and trying to encourage people when they felt like the doom and gloom, I was like, but you know, there are people that are dying every moment. They just didn't ever report on it. But now that they're reporting on it, it's suddenly feeling like, you know, yes, there is definitely
death is everywhere.
People that have passed. But it's even more so because they're counting it. And it's like making it even more illuminated of what this pandemic is causing.
Right.
And so, I said, it kind of affects us.
Right. That, for sure. It definitely affects us. And we have to remember, and I'm not one to slam the media, but you have to always remember something about numbers. Numbers can be manipulated. Numbers can be manipulated to tell a story. Whatever story you want to be told, those numbers can, you can find the numbers for that. So
exactly.
Just take things, you know, take it, don't take it to heart. You know, it's not like people are dying constantly. There are many people who are surviving this. But that's not a reason to, also not a reason to think of it lightly, because there are also people who are going to have some long-term effects from this that we still are just learning about. So take it seriously, but don't let it impact your life so much that you can't move forward. You know, you still can have your hopes, your dreams, and things like that, and pursue those things. It might look a little different right now, but that doesn't mean that you have to put things off.
I so agree. But I really think that it hit the younger people because of the fact that they had never seen anything like this. Like, for some of them, they were probably very small when we had 9/11. So that affected our country in a major way. They haven't lived through a war at all.
Anything.
And seeing what had really happened. So this was really the closest, you know, for them, you know, in understanding that things happen in the world, but we do get past this and life goes on. And so it was really, really devastating.
For sure. And I think, too, you know, a long time ago, there was the Great Depression that our grandparents or great-grandparents lived through. And there were always some residuals from that. People who lived and survived through the Depression, like they were like borderline hoarders, right? Because of that lack, because they saw what the world was like when you couldn't go out and get a newspaper, just as an example, you couldn't throw away anything. You had to reuse it because there wasn't a lot. So, you know, it had an effect on them. It had an impact on them. And so we may not have understood that growing up with our grandparents or great-grandparents. We may not have understood that behavior. But now we're going to have some effects. And there's going to be a whole other generation that's going to look at us and think, wow, they're really odd. But it's because they didn't live through this like we have.
Exactly. I truly believe that, because I know because of COVID, though, there have been more people having babies. because they are not spending so much time with their significant others.
It's like a whole other baby boom is happening.
It is a whole nother baby boom. And it's just amazing to me how many people I'm hearing that children are being born because they're spending more time at home and more time together, and they just did not have it when they were commuting to work and working long hours.
No, right. And see, that's when I say that there's good that comes out of it, those are things that are really good. Our population was declining because so many people were focused on their careers, and I am not knocking that in any way, but it's just the fact. So many of us have been focusing on our careers more so than starting a family. So in that sense that, you know, I'm glad I'm not one of those people who are pregnant. I've done that. And when they come in pairs, let me tell you, you don't want to have any more.
I so get it.
Yeah, but I'm so thankful. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you finish. You're so thankful.
Yeah, I'm just so thankful that I've had this time with my kids because it's their last year being home before they go off to college, and I wanted this time with them. And that is the thing that I am the absolute most grateful for, is I've got to spend so much time with them.
Exactly. And that even brings me to actually my last question, because we're down to the last 3 minutes. How do you encourage kids that are seniors like yours in high school or seniors in college to be able to still have plans when everything's so up in the air?
Yeah, that uncertainty. You just, like what I'm doing, like personally with my kids, like we got so excited, and I just try to keep the energy going. We went and looked at colleges. We've looked at different, you know, like we physically went and looked at colleges instead of just looking at things online, even though the campuses were closed. We went and we drove to different schools and got out, walked around because the campuses are open. They're just, nobody's there. So we did that. That's how I'm trying to keep my kids as, you know, focused. There are things that we can do, you know, even if you are in college and it's your senior year, go to the campus. Take your pictures in your cap and gown. You have completed. You've done what you've needed to do. You can check it off. You can still have a party, even if it's not this year. You can have a party next year. Your family and friends will be happy to celebrate with you. They're going to be so proud to celebrate that accomplishment with you, and we can all get together safely. So, you know, there are just ways that we can not just look at what we don't have, but look at what we do have and look at things that we can look forward to. So that's how I would encourage people with all this when they're seniors.
That's great. Well, I so appreciate you coming back on again as my guest. We got a lot
of great things
to share. And if you do put out that vision board, even at the end of the year, make sure you let me know so I can invite you back on. And
I definitely will.
My audience for tuning in. And I just always like to end. I always like to end my shows by telling people, make a difference every day, even if it's in a small way, but in some way. And this is Taran Travel with Rethink, Refresh, Relaunch. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.